to the topic today. So the thought process behind the topic is because this week's parsha, the mitzvah in the parsha is the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah. Since for the most part we're not being zoicha right now to be the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah. That being said, that there's a rush, and many times a person publishes a sefer, writes a sefer, purchases a sefer, he fulfills the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah. The main mitzvah is not just to write it, it's to use it to learn. So the rush holds up, you buy a sefer, you're the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah. That's a chosh of a thing.
Any
sefer? Any sefer. Sefer that you're going to learn from. You buy a sefer just for wallpaper, not. But if you buy a sefer to learn from, you become that mitzvah. But that's a chiddush in the rush.
What if you don't actually like?
I don't know. That's a chiddush of the rush, but the assumption passes that that's the mitzvah specifically sefer Torah. So that is not so common for us to deal with. But maybe some of the halachas of kedushas svarim, and specifically maybe the halachas of Sheamus, which is a common issue, about to talk about. Today we're learning Leila Nishmas, the Sus before Shlema for Dina Chaviva Bas Shoshana. A woman in Baltimore, married woman in Baltimore with needs a liver transplant. She's able to find that soon. Okay, so the source of the halachas of Sheamus really actually is a pasuk back in Parshas Re'eh. The Torah talks about the mitzvah to destroy the avodah zarah from the land. And then it says, "Lo sasu kein l'shem elokecha." You should not do that to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It says, "Ibat teshmoh mimenu kamahu." We remove their name. Lo sasu kein l'shem elokecha. So it talks about the destruction of their name and the names of avodah zarah. You should not do that to Hashem elokecha. So that's why we talk about the concept of the Sheamus, the names of Hashem. Because the pasuk specifically talks about ibatim hashmom usasum kein l'shem elokecha, but it's not limited only to the Shem Hashem. Anything which is divrei Torah would have that halacha. One of the explanations is the Ramban actually says, because Ramban in his introduction to Chumash says, if we look at the Torah as an expression of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, really what a shame is. The Ibn Ezra says that the word shame is related to the word shom, which means there. So if I want to describe somebody to you that you don't know. So I say, well, he's 6'2", he weighs 200 pounds, he's curly hair, black eyes, etc. But if you know his name, I just say, Bob, and you say, oh, I know who you're talking about. So that's a way to point to where he is. Shom, there he is. So the word shame and the word shom are really rooted together, shom being there. So that's what the idea of shame. So when we talk about Hashem, we don't know, we can't know Hashem directly, but we can know how he expresses himself in this world. And that's how that's a name of Hashem. So Hashem's names are how he's expressed in the world. The Torah is the greatest expression of Hashem in this world. That's how we know Hashem, through the Torah. So the Torah acts as a revelation of Hashem's presence, so it's called a shame. So therefore the concept of Sheamus, destroying Hashem's name, would apply to anything which has Kedushas HaTorah to it. We divide up the halacha to three areas of halacha. There is the shame, which is the actual thing which would be either the Ketein Hashem's name, or it is Psukim of the Torah, etc. That's called Kedusha. Kedusha Atzma is an issur to do anything which would cause any damage to the name. So it has to be, when it's worn out and cannot be used anymore, it has to be disposed of properly. And there are the things which are Tashmishe Kedusha. They're there to facilitate and take care of the Kedusha, be it Ate Chaim of a Sefer Torah, be it the mantle around the Sefer Torah, be it the bima that you put it on, be it the tefillin are considered Kedusha because they have the names of Hashem on it, be the bag around the tefillin, something of that sort. And then there are things which are used for mitzvah. They're used for mitzvah. They don't have psukim or shem Hashem in it, talis, etc., which Chazal said you cannot dispose of in a way which is insulting to it. You can't be mavazit. So the schach of your sukkah, you cannot dispose of it in a way which would be insulting in some way to that. So that's it's sort of zrika. So that doesn't have this halacha of geniza, of putting it away, which is because of there's no issue of destroying it per se. There's issue of discarding it in a way which would be insulting. Okay, so let's kedusha atzma. The items which are considered kedusha itself would include tefillin, mezuzas, sorim, the shem Hashem. If you have a posuk if you have a shem Hashem on a piece of paper, so that piece of paper can't be discarded anymore because you'll be damaging the name of Hashem. if we use an abbreviation, so you put Beis Hay on top of the page, so some person can get very nervous about that already. That's a reference to Hashem, so you would not be able to discard it just in a way which would cause it to be damaged. It suggested you should use Beis. That's where the usage of Beis Hamatal and B'siyata Deshmaya came in, that gets around that question. If you have a pasuk, again, so we said a pasuk, because any pasuk represents expression of the Torah, that's really, in a certain sense, that's Hashem's revelation to the world, that's Hashem's presence, so that's a shame.
So would the hay for Hashem's name be an issue? If you're like writing a pasuk, you put a hay with it.
Right, so you wouldn't necessarily solve the problem by putting a hay there, right?
Well, how would if I put a dalet there, would that solve the problem?
Dalet, some person seem to become more comfortable with the dalet, even that, so one person was not even comfortable with the dalet. But
how are you supposed to represent Hashem's name then?
So we rely on that. The Mishnah Berurah talks about anytime you would have any type of a letter, something like that, which you feel that at the end of the day it's going to be discarded in a way which will not be considered with proper respect, you shouldn't put any reference to Hashem's name. Matter of fact, the Mishnah Berurah holds even in English is a problem.
But G's last name would be a problem?
So G, if you write out the full name in English, G-O-D, so... That have to give it the proper respect afterwards. What is the proper respect? We'll see in a second. G/D would be a suggestion. Even that, the problem is once you say the hay is a problem because it represents Hashem's name. So for us, G/D represents Hashem's name. So you're back to possibly square one according to that. Yes. Now, how you dispose of it. So Mishnah Berurah's issue is don't put it on something which you know is going to be just discarded and thrown out, and therefore you're going to insult it at the end. You're going to possibly... So if it's discarded away, which would not do that, which means you double wrap it in plastic, which is so it's not going to decompose, the green people will have to be muffled me. So it wasn't made to be Divrei Torah per se, so that would be sufficient. Another example, this is a pasuk. So you three, the Mor says that three words of a pasuk already get the kedusha of a pasuk. As long as that they have some type of understanding, they mean something, those three words would mean something. So it would be, you have to dispose of it properly. If it wasn't written to be a pasuk, it was written more just to be like a melitza, the famous problem is on Yisham and Bar Yehuda. So the Ar Pesukim would suggest that the correct way you should write the pasuk Oy Yishama Behore Yehuda instead of Ore Yehuda, so you get around that problem. But Rav Heinemann holds that since it was not written there to be to quote the pasuk per se, it was written just to be like a melitza, a nice language. So you're going to come out, it wasn't for the purpose of the kedusha of the pasuk. So then you can discard it without any chumrah with that.
Rabbi, how about like parsha sheets and?
We'll get there. Now, but anything which is written, that the purpose is to learn Torah from it, be it Torah Shabbat Peh, or Torah Shabbat Peh for sure, even Torah Shabbat Peh. So the purpose was to learn Torah from it. So now it gets a din of Kedusha, and you can't dispose of it. That being said, so any of these things which the children come home with homework, and they come home with their tests, or they come home with things that the Rebbe sent home for Parsha, will get dinim of Kedusha, and you can't just throw them out. Double wrapping, that might be enough even. So let's say a newspaper. So a newspaper, our Jewish newspapers, I mean, there's a story with one of the Gedolim in Europe that he had a subscription to a certain newspaper. And they realized that he's reading the newspaper. They started putting Divrei Torah into the newspapers. He canceled his subscription. So they asked him what's going on. He says, well, before he used to take it into the bathroom to read because he would want to know the news. But now he can't not gonna take Divrei Torah into the bathroom, so he's canceled his subscription. So taking a newspaper into the bathroom, which has Divrei Torah in it, which really the page which has Divrei Torah should not be open in the bathroom. You can consider other pages. If the primary use of the newspaper is not for Divrei Torah, you consider it as it is really a secular item, and that will act as a coverage of the words of Torah. You can't uncover words of Torah in the bathroom. The poison can grapple with pulling out a dollar bill in the bathroom because it says Hashem's name on it, and God we trust. Whether you're allowed to pull out those type of things. So it's interesting. Rabbi Yom Zilber has a truth about it. He talks about it. He says that beyond that, you have to cover it. She says that even though we, a lot of times, we're machmir kli b'sar kli, but the issue over here is bizoyin. It wasn't written for kedusha purposes, so the issue is not kedusha. The issue is bizoyin. So bizoyin in the bathroom, having it out in the bathroom would be a bizoyin, but one covering is sufficient for that purpose. But you really shouldn't be counting your money in the bathroom, unless you get, you know, money that doesn't have, you know, and that's not, it's not American money, you know. Israeli shkolim, some of them have, you know, the Rambam is on, the 100 shekel or something like that, and they have part of, they have a piece of, they have a quote from the Rambam, Hilchos Shtoris, on there. So it wasn't written for kedusha purposes, so you wouldn't have to be makbid, but you can't be mavazit. So differentiate between the issue of bizoyin and the issue of giving it, you know, but something was written for Torah purposes, so that would be a question. So the newspaper, since it's in general, it's a secular newspaper, so the poskim are makel that you can double wrap it and discard it as such. But if you have something which is published primarily for the purpose of Divrei Torah, you would have to be more machmir, and it really should have to be geniza. So your homework goes into that it was, it would really, really should go into Seamus. We're creating a major Seamus problem.
And are people knowing this way? I mean, I'm not asking Rebbe, but...
Are people knowing this way? I can't tell you what people are knowing. I can tell you what I do. Okay. Now, the halacha talks about discarding, so there are three levels of... There's three or four levels of discarding something. So the first level of discarding something is Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah has to be buried in a klicheris, which means even after it's buried, it has to be protected. It shouldn't... Because you shouldn't directly cause damage to it. By putting it in the ground, it's going to decompose, etc. So you have to put it in something which will maintain it. So there's two levels. The Mogen Avraham suggests that applies to other Svarim as well. The Poskim in general do not accept the Mogen Avraham. In other Svarim, besides Sefer Torah, you're allowed to bury them. But Geniza is, it has to be put away in either burial or in a place where it would be maintained with the proper respect. You know, the Kairo Geniza wasn't buried, it was stored away in the attic, but it was stored away in a derech kavod. You could put it into a machzan somewhere, you could make a large machzan and put it there, etc. Then you have the step down, which is, that's for something which is other than Sefer Torah, but it's Kedusha itself. Tilla mezuzis, there are some places who hold that really goes at the same level as the Sefer Torah, and really it should be actually buried, not just put into the Geniza. Something which is a step down, the return which were not written for limud Torah purposes, then the issue is or divrei tashmish mitzvah. So you don't, there's no requirement of geniza, but you can't be zarek and you can't throw it out in a way which would be bizoyin to it. So you have to, which the suggestion nowadays is the double wrapping and putting that sort of kli b'sar kli, and then even if it's thrown into the garbage, it's not going to be directly damaged by that. Eventually, it'll decompose at some point in time, and that's not a problem. And then something which is not used for mitzvah, but it's tashmishim, it says your talus bag, or something of that sort, has no iser at all on it. So a tefillin bag would have a lacha that you can't. It's tashmishim mitzvah, you can't be. It requires geniza. A talus bag would not require even tashmishim. It's only tashmishay of the mitzvah, so that doesn't require any limits. So any responsibility, you can throw it out directly. Make right then.
Ready? How does computer writing, someone's writing a safer or something on a computer?
So computer in general is not considered a problem. The poskim are makel on computers because they say there's nothing really there. There's no real kolzman. It's on just on the screen. There's nothing really there. It's just, you know, some type of a machine putting something on the screen. It has to be, the machine is actually refreshing it constantly. What's become a question nowadays is as they make the fancier screens, you know, some of these touch screens, etc., work in a different system, and actually there's something there, some of the e-books, right? There's actually, it creates something more, it doesn't have to be refreshed constantly. It's actually embedded there and remains, as they're looking for energy-saving purposes. So the good old system was a cathode ray tube. So the cathode ray is constantly creating the image on the screen. That uses a lot of energy. So if I can create a screen which will hold the image, so I won't have to constantly refresh it with energy. So the problem is, once you're doing that, you're making it more permanent. It's actually there. Till you erase it, it's actually there. So depending on what type of screen it is, some of the fancier new screens become more problematic in regards to erasing it.
So if you write the name of Hashem on a computer screen and erase it, that's not an issue?
It's not an issue. You know, the assumption is not an issue. Someone just put up with intent originally to erase it, a blackboard. You put the return on a blackboard. So not talking about Hashem Hashem, you put the return on a blackboard. So the assumption is because you put it there with intent to remove it, so it doesn't have, you're allowed to remove it. It was made to be a roy. What do you do with the chalk afterwards? So the person grabbed, well, what do you do with the chalk? The chalk was used for Divrei Torah, so they said that that's not a problem. You don't have to worry about throwing the eraser into the into the Geniza, because it was made to be a roy. So we assume there was an original plan not to. Rav Moshe has an interesting tshuva. He talks about Torah Shebal Peh. Generally, you're putting Torah Shebal Peh, you know, on the board. Torah Shebal Peh is a little more complicated. The Torah Shebal Peh, a sefer, until you use it, doesn't have kedusha. Because its kedusha is the fact that it's learned it. He says he would suggest even afterwards, if once he reaches the point it can't be learned from anymore, would not have it in kedusha. He says, but he's not going to pass the lachal ma'aseh like this tshuva until the other gedolim agree to him, and the ma'aseh of the gedolim were not ma'aseh to his suggestion. But, so that Torah Shebal Peh is a little bit easier. I want to talk one or two things on the svarim. So something which did to Mishamash the Sefer also has a din of kedusha. So the binding has a din of kedusha. So the binding breaks off, you have to put it into Geniza. You have it rebounds, and so and actually that binding wears out. So those strings that you use to tie together have a din of Tashmish Kedusha, and you have to put it into Geniza. A book cover, you have a safer, you put a book cover on, or a dust jacket. So it has a din of Geniza. Interesting is some come in boxes. Like a set comes in a box. So if the box is made to be for COVID, like a nice box, that would require Geniza. If it's just there to protect it for shmira purposes, so that's machlokes. Shmira pasin tikkur din, but just for shmira, it doesn't require geniza. So we touched on a few things. Obviously, this topic has a lot of applications. We're really just touching the iceberg on it. I just want to one quick word on the parsha. So the Torah writes the mitzvah of ksiba sefer Torah, and it writes in the following language: as v'atok kisvul chemes hashir azoyz. You should write the Shira, you should teach it to Klal Yisrael, and make sure that it's there in their mouths, that they should be able to repeat it, etc. So it says Shira Zois. Now, Shira Zois is referring to the Shira Zazinu. But we know, the more it says, but since you're not allowed to write any part of the Torah alone, you have to write a whole Torah, you can't write just any parsha from the Torah. That which we write, separate parshas of the Torah, etc., the more it says, only because of the special hetzer of Eis Lasses Lashem, if Eretz Rasecha, we need to learn, and we don't have the ability to always have a Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah was made to learn from. The result would be Marv Sedra from the Sefer Torah. If you know how you're supposed to learn from the Sefer Torah, it's not supposed to be just put it in the Aron. Obviously, you have to do with the proper Derech Eretz. So there's a special answer, but Mikra didn't. You can't write Megillus. So must be you have to write the whole Sefer. So the whole Sefer Torah. That's how we know the mitzvah is really Sefer Sefer Torah. So he uses Lashon of Shira. But the Hamik Dover, his introduction to Chumash, he says if you look at the word Shira could also refer to the whole Torah. Because what makes something a Shira? A Shira is the idea of poetry is to capture an idea in a short, very short way. You know, using analogies, using metaphors, using similes, etc. So the Torah, it's not just what the words are, but it represents something greater than itself. That's what the Torah is referred to as a Shira. But the Rav Moshe Shapiro takes it a step further, and he says that the word, you find the Gemara in Bava Metzia talks about coins of different shapes. It says, you find them in the shape of a shear. What's a shear? It's a circle. So why is a shear? Why is a song? Why is it referred to as a circle? As a maga? Right? It says, the idea is to really say sheer about something, which to give over the idea, you only can do it once you get to the end, once you see the whole picture. So Mizrach Shelei Mashabas at the end of the creation, Oz Yosher at the end of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Shiras Devorah after they destroyed the main power of the Canaanim, etc. So that basically that now it's always in their hands. The Shiras Haber at the end of the 40 years. The only when you see a whole picture can you really give it over then the depth of what was meant over there. Shiras Hazino is unique is that it's given to us up front about what the history of all the history of mankind will be. So it encompasses everything there, but it's up front. We're able to look at that as a Shira to encompass everything. It's a Magal, so it's able to have that Shira. So Torah represents that type of Shira as well. And that's why it's referred to as a Shira. That's what Moshe Shapiro suggests.